Welcome in. This is the Pan Movement on Atmospheres Masterclass with Clean Routing, inside Ableton Live, aimed right at drum and bass production. Today's mission is simple. Make your atmospheres drift, breathe, and feel expensive without wrecking your drums, without messing up your mono, and without turning your arrangement into an unreadable automation nightmare. Because Atmos in D&B are the glue. The wind beds, the tonal noise, the jungle haze, the distant pads, the little bits of vinyl air, they're what makes a drop feel like it's happening in a world, not just in a project file. But if you pan them the obvious way, one of two things happens. Either they feel gimmicky and distracting, or they smear your low end and your snare suddenly feels smaller. We're not doing that. We're going to use a clean system, one motion engine that we feed from multiple Atmos layers. Centralized movement, distributed character. That's the pro mindset. Before we build anything, quick context check. Set your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. And picture a typical D&B layout. 16-bar intro, 16-bar drop A, 16-bar bridge, 16-bar drop B. You should already have drums, bass, and at least 1 to 3 atmosphere layers. Could be a pad, a noise bid, a field recording. Anything that's living in that background story role. Now let's build the routing. Go to your atmosphere tracks. Select them all and group them. Command or Control G. Name this group Atmos Bus. This is home base. It's where your dry Atmos live, where you can EQ them together, level them together, and keep things organized. Next, create a return track. Create menu, insert return track, name it Motion. And here's the key idea for the whole lesson. We're not going to pan every Atmos track individually. That gets messy fast, and it makes your automation a spider web. Instead, the dry Atmos stay mostly stable, and the stereo movement happens in parallel on this return. That way, you can blend motion in like seasoning, and you can automate the motion once and have it affect multiple layers cleanly. All right, let's build the motion return device chain. This is your movement engine. First device, utility. This is basic gain staging and width control. Set the gain to about -6 dB to start. Returns build up faster than you expect, especially once you add reverb. For width, start somewhere around 120 to 160%. Don't go crazy yet. We'll automate this later, and we'll keep it musically controlled. Next device, auto pan. This is the main movement. Turn sync on. Set the phase to 180 degrees, so it's a true left-right movement rather than a pulsing thing. Choose a sine wave shape for smooth drifting, or triangle if you want it a little more obvious and steppy. Set the amount around 40% as a starting point. For the rate, start at 1 bar if your Atmos are sustained. If you want a little more energy later, we'll move it to half a bar in the build. And a coach note here, at 174 BPM, half-bar panning can feel like constant look-at-me motion. It's not that it's wrong, it just needs context. A good rule is, 1 bar for sustained pads, 2 bars for long ambiences, and half a bar only when you're also ducking the return, or filtering it darker, so it doesn't compete with hats. Next device, EQ8. We are going to keep movement out of the low end. High pass this return somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz. If you're making darker rollers and you want the movement to be mostly air, you can push that high pass higher, like 300 to 600 Hz. The point is, don't let low and low mid information wander around. That's where mono stability and punch live. Optional move. If you notice the motion cloud is pulling attention in the hat zone, do a gentle dip somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz. Not always needed, but it's a good fix when the stereo effect starts feeling like it's sitting on top of your drums. Next device. Reverb. Use hybrid reverb, stock Ableton. Algorithmic or convolution is your choice. Set your decay somewhere like 2 to 6 seconds depending on how big you want the space. Add a bit of pre-delay, like 10 to 25 milliseconds. That pre-delay is important, because it helps keep the reverb from stepping on your transient zone. Even though this is Atmos, you still don't want it smearing the punch of the groove. Dry slash wet on a return is a little different because the return level is also controlling the blend, but as a starting point, something like 15 to 35% inside hybrid reverb is fine. You can go wetter, just keep it intentional and listen for wash. Optional device, saturator. This is for density. 1 to 3 dB of drive, soft clip on, and keep it subtle. You're not turning your atmosphere into a lead. You're adding body so it sits in the track instead of evaporating. At this point, your motion return is basically a moving stereo cloud. And now the whole game is, how much of each atmosphere do we feed into that cloud? So go back to each Atmos track inside your Atmos bus. Turn up the send to the motion return. Start around minus 18 to minus 12 dB. That's usually enough to hear movement without it taking over. And keep the sends post fader at first. Post fader means if you pull down the dry Atmos track, the motion follows. It's predictable and tidy. But here's a pro workflow trick. If you want the motion tail to continue even when you chop or mute the dry Atmos for a fill, switch that send to pre-fader. That way, you can do little edits on the dry track, and the moving reverb cloud keeps floating through the gap. Very effective in transitions. Now we need to keep the low end stable on the group. On the Atmos bus itself, at the end of the chain, add another utility. Turn on bass mono, and set it somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz. This is insurance. It means any low frequency content in your Atmos gets centered, and it won't fight your sub or make the drop feel wobbly in mono. Optional, but often smart, put an EQ8 before that utility and high pass the whole bus somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz, depending on your track. In DNB, the sub needs real estate. Atmos should support the bass, not wrestle it. Now we get to the fun part, making the movement musical with automation that stays readable. Hit it to open automation mode. We're going to focus on three targets that actually matter in arrangement. Auto pan amount, auto pan rate, and utility width on the motion return. Think of these as macro lanes. You'll see them in your arrangement and immediately understand what the track is doing. Everything else in the return chain can be set and forget. First, automation. Auto pan amount on the motion return. In the intro, keep it subtle, like 15 to 30%. In the build, ramp it up to around 40 to 55%. Then in the drop, pull it back a bit, like 25 to 40%. That tighten during the drop thing is a huge DNB trick. The drop feels heavier partly because the stereo field stops showing off. Then, in the break or bridge, push it wider again. You can go 50 to 70% there if it's meant to feel spacious. Second, automation. Auto pan rate. Intro. 1 bar. Slow drift. Confident. Build. Maybe shift to half bar, or even a quarter bar if your drums are sparse and you want energy. Drop. Either keep it half bar if your hats are minimal, or go back to 1 bar if your top end is busy. Fast pan plus busy drums equals messy quickly, so you're always balancing motion with drum density. Third, automation. Utility width on the motion return. Intro. Around 110 to 130%. Drop. Tighten closer to 100 to 120. Break. You can push 140 to 170 if it still holds up in mono. And here's the mindset. Width automation is not about bigger is better. It's contrast staging. Wide before the drop. Tight in the drop. Wide in the break. You're guiding the listener's perception of impact. Now optional, but powerful. Clip-based modulation to avoid drawing a million automation points. Create a blank MIDI track and name it Atmos MOD. Put a dummy MIDI clip on it. You're not using it for MIDI output. You're using it as an automation container. In the clip envelopes, choose the parameter you want to modulate, like the motion return's auto pan amount or utility width. Draw a slow curve over 4 or 8 bars, then duplicate the clip and make small variations. This keeps your arrangement tidy and repeatable. It also gives that rolling sway feeling without you manually drawing tiny wiggles all over the arrangement. Now, a big DNB reality check. The snare is sacred. If your moving reverb cloud pulls attention exactly when the snare hits on 2 and 4, the snare feels weaker. The track feels less confident. So we protect the snare with ducking. On the motion return, add a compressor. Turn on sidechain. Choose your snare track or your whole drum bus if that's how your session is set. Ratio around 2:1 to 4:1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release 80 to 180 milliseconds. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Not a pumpy EDM thing. Just a subtle dip that clears space right when the snare speaks. If you want something more aggressive and rhythmic, you can use a gate side chain to the snare or drums, and make the Atmos breathe in time. That can be sick for techie rollers, but the compressor approach is the cleaner always works option. Let's lock in a quick 16-bar plan you can copy into your own arrangement thinking. Bars 1 through 8. Intro. Auto pan amount around 20 to 30%. Rate at 1 bar. Width around 120%. Bars 9 through 16. Build. Ramp amount up toward 55%. Shift rate to half bar. Maybe increase the send from a field recording so the movement feels organic. Then as you hit the drop, bars 17 onward, pull amount back to 30 to 40%, width down closer to 110 and make sure that sidechain ducking is doing its job. That's how you get wide before the drop, tight during the drop, and it makes the heavy section slam. Now let's talk mistakes, because these are the exact traps that make people hate stereo movement. First mistake, panning the whole Atmos track instead of using a parallel return. You lose control fast, and automation becomes spaghetti. Second mistake, letting low frequencies pan. Even 150 to 300 Hz wandering around can smear your bass perception. High pass the movement path. Center the lows. Third mistake, too fast auto pan in busy sections. An 8th note or 16th note pan on a dense mix can feel facey and chaotic. Fourth mistake, overwidening. Like whip that 200%. Sounds huge in headphones, collapses in mono, and your drop loses punch. Fifth mistake, no gain staging on returns. Returns can sneak in 6 to 10 dB over time, especially once multiple tracks feed them. Start conservative. Now for some extra coach upgrades if you want that darker, heavier DNB vibe. 1. Keep the center grimy. Move the air. Let the movement live mostly in the highs and sides. If you're doing this, set the high pass on the motion return even higher, like 300 to 600 Hz, so the motion is mostly haze, not body. 2. Add subtle pitch warble before the reverb and panning. If you put a tiny carousel ensemble or a frequency shifter set super slow before the reverb, the space feels more believable, like a real environment, not an effect pasted on top. Keep it extremely subtle. You want haunted air, not obvious modulation. 3. The haunted jungle air trick. Add echo on the motion return. Time at 1/8 dotted or 1/4, feedback 10 to 25%, high pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. Then keep it low. It's more of a suggestion than a feature. 4. Avoid center holes. If your return is super wide and your dry Atmos are filtered thin, you can accidentally hollow out the middle of the mix. The groove feels empty between hits. The fix is a mid-anchor layer. Duplicate one Atmos, make it mono or near mono, low pass it around 6 to 10 kHz, and keep it very quiet, like minus 18 to minus 24 dB. That tiny center bed keeps the world feeling continuous, while the fancy stereo stuff happens around it. Now let's do a quick practice run. 10 to 15 minutes. This audio version is shortened for playback.